Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and verse 11 will be our reading this morning. And this is how the Word of God thus read: not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want to focus on that first set of statement: not lagging behind in diligence. This morning, would you pray with me as I teach on the topic, don't live it for tomorrow. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee, thank thee for the mercy that was so richly bestowed upon us, that thou brought us together here to hear from thee. May thou now speak, Holy Father, a people wait in anticipation to hear from thee. May the words of my mouth, the meditation that's kindled in my soul, be pleasing to thee, my Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The joke is told of a wife who tried to wake her husband up one Sunday morning. "Wake up," she said. "I'm tired," he responded. "Get up, today's Sunday, and we have to go to church," she replied. He said to her, "You go ahead, I'll attend next Sunday." Irritated, she said to him, "But you are the pastor." You know, as funny as that joke does sound, it highlights one of the virtues that is often overlooked in our contemporary church: the virtue of diligence. While it is true that there are more people today who profess to be Christians than in the infancy years of the church, the first century AD after the ascension of Jesus Christ, yet comparatively, those handful of Christians in the first century AD significantly impacted the Gentile world around them more than we do here contemporarily. Now, I don't believe that they have more of the Holy Spirit than we do today. The same Holy Spirit that dwelled in them still is dwelling within us. On the contrary, I believe one of the things, among other things, that made them so effective was because they were not lagging behind in diligence. In essence, they prioritized their calling. This is the missing link in contemporary Christendom. And it is obvious, in an age of competing interest, where several things are rich enough for attention, for many Christians, our faith has become a second fiddle. Serving Christ is now a matter of convenience, not priority. Other things, such as the pursuit of happiness, our career, our different vocations, have taken preeminence. Figuratively, I believe what many are doing today is just giving the Lord the crumbs that falls from their table. And many assume that such crumbs is good for the Lord Jesus Christ because they have other pressing needs they got to follow. They got to think about work. They got to think about family. They got to think about marriage. So guess what? Lord, you just got to be content with the crumbs that falls from our table. But I hate to bust your bubble this morning. The Lord Jesus is not content. The call to discipleship is not a call to convenience, but a call to a wholehearted devotion to the Lord Jesus, where we prioritize our calling above all else by putting on the mantle of diligence and giving our uttermost for his highest. And the Lord Jesus himself made this very clear in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, Beginning at verse 25, we're told that the Lord Jesus was going and a multitude were following after him. And abruptly, the Lord Jesus stopped. And in verse 26, he turned around to the multitude and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, and his wife, and his children, and his brothers, and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." What the Lord Jesus is saying here is absolutely clear. Discipleship is not about convenience. Discipleship is not about giving God the crumbs that fall from your table. Being a disciple of Jesus requires sacrifice. It requires wholehearted devotion to the person of the Lord Jesus. And part of that wholehearted devotion is to prioritize our calling, which is diligence. And this morning, I want to really teach on this often overlooked virtue, the virtue of discipline. Not discipline, rather diligence. And that is what I want to turn your attention to this morning. Now, as a preamble, to understand this virtue of diligence, I believe we need to start first with God. Let's begin. You know, though nowhere in the Bible does it specifically say that diligence is one of the attributes of God, but the perfect diligence of God is woven throughout his creative order. You know, nothing in God's creative order is left to chance. Unlike some naturalistic evolutionist will make us believe that everything came through chance, really, on the contrary, for lack of a better word, we can see the perfect, meticulous creation of God in everything that he created. There is a perfect, meticulous creation. God diligently fashioned and molded. Look at the human anatomy. David will write, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And each one of us could see that there is a notion of painstaking design. There is a notion of great design, detailed design. God is a God of perfect diligence. Even in the natural order of things, in creation itself, you look at creation and what do you see? The heavens are declaring the glory of the Lord. The firmament are speaking of his handiwork. There is great wonder in creation. That tells us of a God who meticulously created everything to perfection. That is why the Apostle Paul will write, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invincible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Again, God is a God of perfect diligence. It takes time to mold, to shape, to create is perfect creation. Not only do we see God's perfect diligence in his creative order, it is also woven throughout his outworking of his purpose in time and space. You know, God does not procrastinate. Neither does God lollygag as it relates to his purpose. But God is diligent. When he said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, Jeremiah records, "And the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it.'" You know, that phrase, I'm watching over my word, is connotes diligence. That God is saying, I'm not only speaking my word, but I'm watching over my word to fulfill, to perform the word that God has spoken. That tells us that God is a God of perfect diligence. Doesn't leave nothing to chance. But he's so concerned even with the sparrow that falls from the tree. He knows about it. He's well intimately acquainted with each one of our ways, said the psalmist. He knows all about it. He knows the way I go. He knows the turns I make. God knows. And that is because he's a God of great diligence. Yes, we can see the attribute of God woven through its attributes, its perfect diligence. And this perfect diligence can also be seen in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, John chapter 4, after he had ministered to the Samaritan woman and his disciples had gone to buy food, and we're told that when they came back and they saw him with the Samaritan woman, then after a while they asked him, Rabbi, eat. Then the Lord Jesus will respond to them in John chapter 4, verse 34. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So again, I want you to watch what the Lord Jesus is saying there. Lord Jesus said, my purpose here, and I'm diligent about this purpose. I'm diligent. That is why I had to minister to this Samaritan woman. I'm diligent about the purpose. It's not about the food that is a physical intake of substance, but it has to do with the perfect will of God, that God has sent me that I can be a light in darkness, that God has sent me so that I can bring his truth and proclaim his word into a world that is darkened, so that men and women can know that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. A little bit further in John chapter 9, verse 4, the context here is about the man that was born blind, and his disciples asked the Lord Jesus, who sinned? Then the Lord Jesus was able to remind them that, no, this blindness is for the glory of God. Then in verse 4, the Lord Jesus says something amazing. He said, we must walk the work of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. Again, I want you to watch what the Lord Jesus is saying. Lord Jesus said, listen, we must have to do this work now. We must be diligent. We must continue to do this work that God has sent me to do. And I truly believe that perfect diligence exists within the triunity of God, that God the Father, God the Son, perfectly diligent as it relates to the mission, the purpose that is set for humanity. Now, this display of perfect diligence is not exclusive to God. On the contrary, I believe God has equipped each one of us with the same ability. Yes, you have the ability to be diligent in everything that you do. And God expects each one of us to be diligent. This is where the virtue of diligence comes in. And this is especially true for those who are in a covenant relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Like God the Father and God the Son, diligence must be woven. Again, I want you to watch what I just said. Diligence must be woven into everything we do. You know, procrastination and lollygagging is nothing but slothfulness, or for a better word, is laziness, which is a spiritual vice. Not only does it hinder spiritual growth, it impacts our weakness and makes us unfruitful as a change agent. And sadly, that's the profile. That's the profile of many of us. We're so slothful in some ways that when it comes to the things of God, even when we attempt to do things for Christ, we are so lopsided in doing it. Many of us complain, we whine, we give God just a little piece that comes out of our hand, and we are not passionate about his work and doing those things that God has called us to do, and we procrastinate and we just play around with the things of God. Yet the world is dying and dying in darkness because there is no truth in our world. This morning, I meant to tender to you the virtue of diligence is a virtue that we need to bring back into the body of Christ, that we can know that the time is ticking. We are the ones that God has given the ministry of reconciliation, and he has bid us to go as ambassadors to make truth known to a dying world. Well, Pastor Wally, someone might say, you got me here. But Pastor Wally, how can I become a Christian who does not lag behind in diligence? Pastor Wally, could you just give me something pragmatic that I can begin to walk on? Well, there is a balm in Gilead. And this morning, I believe there's healing for the soul. I want to give you three pragmatic ways that the discipline or the virtue of diligence can be a virtue that becomes part and parcel of your life. This is one I want you to write down. Begin, let's write this down. First of all, you have to align your focus with God's purpose. Again, you want to write that down. Align your focus with God's purpose. You know, it is obvious that we're living in a world where so many things are grabbing and seeking to grab our attention. As such, our focus is often pulled in different directions. And usually, this is what you got to believe, usually it is what we value that become the focal point. What I mean is that we don't do really what we believe, but we do what we value. So it's the interest that we actually value that becomes the center of our focus. And this is precisely where our energy is often directed towards. Take, for instance, someone who is just so, who values their career and value the status quo where they can grow in society. Once they value that, they invest. It becomes their focal point. It becomes the center of their focus. They become enamored with success. They want to climb the ladder of success. But listen, this is where you got to work it out in a spiritual way. But in order for you not to lag behind in diligence spiritually, you now have to watch this. You have to make God's purpose the value, the ultimate value in your life. Let it become now your focal point. In other words, in your hierarchy of value, let God's purpose be on the top of it. So guess what? You value now God's purpose. So guess what you do? You put energy. You begin to devote time. You are now motivated. You are now pushing forward. You are now pressing on to that mark of an hour calling because you understand that his purpose is my overwhelming desire, overarching desire. Then you might say, listen, Pastor Wally, break it down further for me. What then is the purpose of God for Christians? I'm glad you asked. The Lord Jesus reminded us of this simple word. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said to us, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does man light a lamp and place it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see the purpose of God for you as a Christian? It is to be a light, to be a salt. You must be a light in the dark world in which we live. Your overarching goal, your value system, you must make being a light the center focal point of what you do. In other words, everywhere you are, you shine. The reason God placed you in that job, where you are rubbing shoulders with unbelievers and you are complaining, Lord, I need to get out of here. Don't try to get out from there. The Lord put you there so that you can align your focus with his purpose and you become a light in the midst of that darkness. The reason the Lord has placed you in a culture where there is a moral decadence is that you can be the salt that preserves the moral virtues and the moral truth of our God. And you can be that light, that salt that will taste in such a culture. That is our purpose. So when you align your focus with God's purpose, the motivation is going to be there. That means every time you get up, you really understand that today I got to shine. Today I got to taste. And that is where you become a Christian that does not lag behind in diligence. There's a second thing here I want you to write down. Second, make excellence your standard. Again, let me repeat that. Make excellence your standard. You know, if you've been through any level of education, you know that at the end of every semester or at the end of every period, like they do in high schools and middle schools, grades are given out. And it ranges from A to F. And in college, you got the I, which is for incomplete. Now, the A grade often stands for excellent. That means that you did extremely, extremely well. And with excellence often comes what I call a recognition. You get an award, perhaps you get recognized because you excelled greatly. But watch this. Excellence does not come by you not attending class or by you not completing your homework. Did you hear what I just said? You don't get excellent grade if you don't do your homework, if you don't come to class, if you just sleep around and you don't care for the exam days to come. You don't get the excellent. Rather, to achieve excellence, you need to be intentional, but also you need to be diligent. That is the key to it. So I want you to watch this. In order for you as a Christian not to lag behind in diligence, you have now to make excellence your standard. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. In every way that the Lord calls you to, in whatever way that he calls you to serve, you make excellence your standard. You make excellence your standard. I'm not saying you will always achieve excellence, but making excellence your standard means that you are always moving forward. You are pressing on to that mark of that high calling in Christ. That means you are moving progressively forward to become who Christ wants you to be. You become excellent in terms of your moral life. What you do is that you continue to progressively seek to be sanctified. You become excellent when you're serving Christ. That means if nobody shows up to your ministry, you show up. That means if it's going to be your preacher and you're going to preach to five, you preach to five as you preach to 2,000. You don't really care because your goal or your standard is excellent. And you can look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was a man that sought excellence in everything he did. He was not content with mediocrity. He was always going for the best of the best. And this morning, I truly believe when you make excellent your standard, you will become intentional. When you make excellence your standard, you will become, you, 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 you will become diligent in everything you do because you're going to put in effort. You're going to put in effort. And that is what God is calling you to. I truly believe this is how not to lag behind in diligence, because you understand that my standard is excellence. And this is what is needed in the church of Jesus Christ, that we as believers can understand that God expects from us. And I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning. God does not expect from you a C grade. God does not expect from you a B grade. God expects from you an A grade, because God wants you every day to be excellent. You might say, Pastor Wally, how is that possible? Because we're told, even by the Lord Jesus, when he talked about love in Matthew chapter 5, he reminded us, he said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect in love. In other words, God expects an A plus. He expects A grade every single day as a believer. And for you to get A grade, you must be intentional. And also for you to get A grade, you must be diligent. That is why this morning, in order for you to not lag behind in diligence, to make diligence a virtue, you must make excellence your standard. There's a third thing here I want you to write down this morning, and this is it. Make the bottom line your starting point. Make the bottom line your starting point. Pastor Wally, what does this mean? What I mean by the bottom line is that, what is truly the bottom line of our faith? Well, the bottom line of our faith is well articulated by the Apostle Paul. And this is what the Apostle Paul will write. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. We said, whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Again, let me read that again so you can see what I'm trying to get to here. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The bottom line for you as a believer, the bottom line of our faith is the glorification of God. That is the prime mission of humans upon this earth. That is your mission as a believer, is the glorification of God. That is the bottom line of why we're Christians. Now watch this. Now make that bottom line your starting point. This is how to become diligent. You make that bottom line your starting. In other words, you now make the glory of God your starting point. That you now say, not only am I going to make excellent my standard, I'm going to make the glory of God my standard. I'm going to do everything to the glory of God. Everything I'm going to do to the glory of God. If I got to speak, I'm going to speak to the glory of God. If I got to eat, I'm going to eat to the glory of God. If I got to talk, I got to talk. Whatever I got to do, In other words, I got to make sure that I'm glorifying God. And when you make your bottom line your starting point, you will always be diligent. You will always be careful. You will always watch yourself. You will always be guided in your conversation. You will always be guided in the way you react to different. You will always be guided because you know that I'm an epistle. People are reading me every single day. I'm an epistle that is being read. I'm a Bible that someone is reading every moment. I need to be careful how I act. I need to be careful what I say. I need to be careful what I get involved in. If this does not portray doesn't portray integrity, I'm not going to get into it. If what I'm trying to do will not glorify God, I'm not going to get to it. What you've done by making the bottom line your starting point is that you've now motivated yourself and you've now made diligence a point, that I'm going to be diligent in the way I do my things. Because guess what's my ultimate goal? My bottom line, to glorify God. My brothers and sisters, this morning, I tender to you that the Lord God of heaven wants us to return to that virtue of diligence. And I truly believe if the contemporary 21st century church would embrace diligence, that we will not lag behind in diligence, that we will prioritize our calling. The culture will be forced to change because revival will begin. Don't live for tomorrow. What you can do today. Our Father and our God, into thy holy hands and our commit this time of teaching, be thou glorified, my Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.